Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
All right, welcome in, everybody. It's Dave Plyer here on 720 WGN. Glad you could join us tonight. Got a big show lined up. Music icon Herb Alpert turned 85 last week, and he's celebrating 60 years in the recording industry. He's been responsible for record sales topping 72 million, with 28 albums making the Billboard charts. Along with partner Jerry Moss, he was also the co-founder of A&M Records, at one time the world's most successful independent label. And we'll talk to him about that journey. Then Cardinal Blaise Supich, Archbishop of Chicago, will join us to talk about Easter weekend, not being able to celebrate in your own churches, and how to find some peace with all of this due to the stay-at-home order. And just a reminder that the Easter Vigil Mass and the Easter Morning Mass from Holy Name Cathedral will air right here on 720 WGN.
Alan, could I say something?
You got more to say?
Well, I've been thinking, Alan, and, well, for instance, I think you look very nice without your
hair?
Oh. Well, yes, and, well, for instance, now, I'm not saying this just because I'm in trouble, Alan, although goodness knows I am.
Oh, yes.
But believe me, sincerely, Alan, really sincerely, and you can ask anybody, I have always said that I like you so much better without your,
There's hair! Hair! You didn't have any trouble saying it on television. Why didn't you tell me this in private?
Well, I just didn't feel it was my place.
No, your place is on network television!
All right, but first, how about some comic relief from a comedy legend during these unprecedented times? Legendary comedian, actor, director, and screenwriter Carl Reiner, 9-time Emmy Award winner and a career spanning 7 decades, celebrated his 98th birthday just a few weeks ago. Naturally, we know him for creating The Dick Van Dyke Show, but before that, Carl was appearing on Broadway in several musicals before being cast on Sid Caesar's variety series, Your Show of Shows, which celebrates 70 years. It was a showcase for up-and-coming writers, including his best friend Mel Brooks. Films in his early career, directing, including Oh God with George Burns, The Jerk starring Steve Martin. He won one of his 9 Emmy Awards for a guest role on Mad About You. He appeared as a guest star on sitcoms 2 and a Half Men, Hot in Cleveland. On the big screen, he appeared in the remake of Ocean's 11 and its sequel, Ocean's 13. Carl was honored with the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor. He's the author of multiple books. And the great Carl Reiner is joining us tonight. Carl, the older you get, the credits just never end.
Well, I love those credits. And I always have to check people. I wrote a book, a 271-page book called How to Live Forever. And I co-wrote it with a Pakistani man.
Mm-hmm.
And his name was Sumwonhoohoz. Man Who... How to Live Forever by Carl Reiner and Someone Who Has. That's his name.
Okay. All right. Okay.
And the reason I tell you it's 271 pages is that the first line of the book says, when you wake up in the morning, it's good to have a project to work on.
Yeah.
Wake up with a project in mind. Work on that project all day. Improve it. When you approve of its improvements, could start a new project. I say that for 271
That's
pages.
Awesome. Yeah. No, I know you and Dick Van Dyke are on the same wavelength. I mean, he's all about keep moving, and that's what it's all about.
No, that's it. If you wake up, I always said if I wake up in the morning and I read the newspaper and I'm not in the obits, I'll have my breakfast.
Of course. I saw you and best friend Mel Brooks on CBS Sunday Morning last week. You know, you both served in World War II, and thank you for your service, by the way. And your mantra was, you know, we did it before, and we can do it again. We are going to get through this.
Oh, I hope so. Whoever dreamed of a thing called coronavirus. I mean,
right.
Coronavirus. The things that are happening today are like dreams.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and the streets are empty. I went to, today I drove in to get a dentist. I couldn't believe the streets.
Yeah.
Nobody in the streets.
Nobody. Even driving down here, you know, for doing the show on a typical Friday night. I mean, there's nobody on the roads, nobody walking around. And that's a good thing. I mean, that does mean on some level people are listening, right?
I guess.
Yeah. You and Mel usually get together for dinner and watch Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune.
He comes to the house.
Oh, does he?
He has a cars that pick him up and take him. And
Oh, that's great. All right. So you're keeping that up, at least. I think that's good. I think part of getting through this is keeping your spirits up, keeping informed, but not watching, but not watching this every single minute and the coverage 24/7. It's too much. You got to laugh a little bit, right?
Oh, you have to. I search the paper every day for something that's going to tickle me. And there is always something on television.
Well, I got to tell you, when I thought about providing some comic relief to our audience and sharing some legendary stories, you are truly the first guy that came to mind. So thank you for hanging out with us. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Got to hang out with somebody.
That's right. That's right.
Alan, if you're going to have lunch and get to that meeting, you better get going.
Shut up, Mel.
Do you have anything to say, Alan?
Shut up, Dave.
Yes, Alan. Okay, we're talking to the great Carl Reiner, and there's more when we come back on 720 WGN.
I'm interested in the origin of words, where words come from. Simple words like
cheese.
Well,
a lot of them you pick up on the street.
Right.
Words.
No, I mean,
oh, you mean
where they come from. I see, where they come from. For instance, a word like cheese. What's the origin of the word
cheese? Came from the first man who discovered cheese. He looked into a big barrel, see,
mm-hmm.
of souring milk that was souring,
mm-hmm.
and he sniffed it and he went, cheese!
Day player back with you here on 720 WGN. We're talking to TV legend Carl Reiner. So, Carl, we first touched upon the fact years ago that you served in World War II. You were on your way to Iwo Jima when you were reassigned to a special entertainment unit.
That's right. I was with a signal battalion. I was a signal corps operator, a message center operator, you know, teletyping messages out. And on the way to parts unknown, we were going on a ship to go someplace, and the night before, somebody said, there's a G.I. Hamlet being played here. And I went to see, it was Maurice Evans doing a Hamlet, and it was a friend of mine from the NYA Radio Workshop,
mm-hmm.
where we used to get $22 a month.
Wow.
For doing these radio shows
okay.
on NBC and NYC in New York, and New York, you know, the city radio station.
Mm-hmm.
From that, a whole career opened up because first of all, we did all these shows, and I became in show business. That's how I started show business.
That's amazing.
So we're on our way. I'm in the signal battalion, and we're in Hawaii, and we see Hamlet. My friend Howie says, what are you doing lately? I said, I don't know where I'm going someplace where I don't know where. Parts unknown. But he said, well, what do you do? I said, well, I do an act, and I was hoping that I would get in I do an act. And he said, why don't you show it to Alan Ludden is our captain.
Oh, get out of here.
And Morris Evans is the major. He says, do it for them. Find out if you're any good. I said, but it won't help me. He says, do it anyway. My friend Saul Pomeranz said, go ahead, find out from professionals.
Wow.
I did my act, and I remember the act so well. I used to do impressions of Charles Boyer, you know,
mm-hmm.
Ronald, and Hakim Demirov. But I did them differently. I said, I came out with a leash, and I said, I'm sorry to inform you all that the actor Monty the Talking Dog won't be with us tonight. He passed away. I said, He did these fantastic impressions. Nobody believed the dog could really do impressions.
Mm-hmm.
I can show you what he did, but I said, it's nowhere near as clearly as Monty did. And I used to do my impressions. It was a dog. Well, they thought it was so good. They said, we'd love to have you in a touring show that tours the Pacific. And I explained that I'm going someplace. They said, they called General Richardson of the Pacific Base Command and had me transferred.
Wow.
The next morning, I hear my name coming over the loudspeaker. Call Reiner, don't go there. Report to the so-and-so. And the next thing I know, I'm in a show that I co-wrote with a friend of mine called Shape Ahoy. It's got girls in it. It's got music.
Wow.
And we went on tour the whole Pacific. We played every island in the Pacific. Mogmox, Guam, Tinian, Saipan. Anyway, 1 year we toured that. And the funny thing is that the guys in my original battalion went on to Iwo Jima. And that we didn't know where we were going at that time. But they invaded Iwo and won. And this is like a bad Dan Daly movie. But on Iwo, on D-Day, Victory Day in the Pacific for the whole war, we land in Iwo Jima, and there are 12 installations we can play. And what you know, we played our old company.
Wow.
There I am.
That's cool.
Starring in a show with all my buddies. All, by the way, every one of them lived. Thank God the guy who took my place, he was a photographer. He lived through it, too. And it was like a bad movie. I'm on stage, and my buddies are cheering me.
Wow. Wow. That's pretty cool. I mean, but that was literally, that story really kicked off a career for you, because just shortly after the war, you know, 1950 now we're talking about, your show of shows, which is celebrating its 70th anniversary this year, you were cast as an actor on the show, but you really became an integral part of the most historical writing teams in television history.
Yeah. And well, that was the template of every show. Never been a show like the show of shows.
Yeah.
There have been variety shows, but there's never been a show. Max Liebman put together a show because he had trained at places like Tamament, mm-hmm. where they had the show, a different show every week, because the guests stayed for 3 weeks. So, you know, first time they had a show where different shows every week, and he got the habit of, not the habit, the knowledge how to put on a different show every week. So they didn't repeat. We never repeated it after 13 weeks. We always had fresh shows.
Yeah, but we're talking Mel Brooks and Neil Simon, Mel Tolkien, Lucille Callan, Larry Gelbart later on Caesar's Hour, Woody Allen. I mean, you know, and you were writing 39 episodes a year, which is unheard of today.
I know. And I look at it as my college education, because
sure.
when I came in, I was an actor, and I had written my own material, but I couldn't say I was a writer. But I finally was accepted as somebody could contribute to things that I wouldn't be saying, you know, that Sid would say, or Imogene.
Yeah.
The first time I met Mel Brooks was, he wasn't working there either. He was working for Sid, getting a few dollars for jokes. And I walked in, and this guy is up there saying, he's playing a Jewish pirate. And he says, you know how hard it is. These are the actual words I remember hearing that many years ago. It says, you know how hard it is to set sail these days? You know what they're charging for sailcloth? $1.37 a yard. I can't afford to pillage and rape anymore. I, that was... ever heard. And I didn't know who he was. And the following day, I came in, and I, for no reason at all, but knowing that he how funny this guy is, I said, sir, I understand you've, you knew Jesus. You lived 2,000 years. You're 2,000 years old, aren't you, sir? I just said it to him, and without a batting an eyelash, he became the 2,000.
You're telling your man, yeah.
We did it at parties for years.
Oh, yeah.
And never thought of putting it on tape. We said, this is special. This is for Jews and non-anti-Semitic Christians.
Yeah.
And we finally put it on tape, and it became what it became.
Of course. Of course, legendary. But it also really kicked off, you think about this, a 70-year friendship with
yeah,
him.
Yeah, it's still going on.
Isn't that great? If you had to call out the best sketch you wrote or acted in that show from your shows, what's the most memorable moment like that you said, wow, that was amazing, that was awesome?
Well, you know what tickled me was that Sid was the best double talker in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I could double talk like Sid in any language. And I did double talk in my act. And I got the idea. I said, I'll never be able to, you know, come near what he does. And I said, one day I came in and I said, why don't we do a foreign movie? It's, what are you talking about? And I demonstrated. I pulled out a pack of cigarettes, and in Italian double talk, I double talked to Sid and tried to sell it, tried to sell him a pack of cigarettes, and he bargained with me. And thereupon, all those foreign movies were born.
Wow.
So I figured I had a place for it. But the writers who were in the room was my college education. Never, you look at when you think of Neil Simon.
Right, yeah.
No playwright ever had four consecutive plays running on Broadway at the same time.
I know, absolutely.
Neil did.
Legendary.
When we met him, he and his brother were a team, and I called him.
Danny.
I said he had the voice of a turtle, because he never spoke up in the room. But I sat next to him for some reason, and I heard him mumble, and I would say, hold it, hold it. This became a catchphrase. Neil's got it. Doc's got it. And I'd say what Doc said. And the fact he sat close to me started his career.
That's awesome. Absolutely awesome. We're talking to the great Carl Reiner, who just turned 98 last week. And there's more with Carl when we come back on 720 WGN.
Yeah, I always said you were the top comedian, Alan.
Shut up, Mal.
Yes, sir.
It's Dave Player on 720 WGN. We're talking to TV legend Carl Reiner. So, late 50s, we're talking about 1959, you produced and wrote a TV pilot called Head of the Family based on your life on your show or shows while you were on vacation one summer.
Yeah, I was asked to do a show, and somebody said, and I said to myself, what do I know about? And I on this West Side Drive going home, I said, nobody's different. Everybody's the same. The guys who are married, and
yep,
they got the same life. And I said, well, what do I do? I said, well, I'm a writer, actor on the show, and I live in New Rochelle. I have a wife and two kids. I said, I'll write about that. And I wrote a thing called Head of the Family. Peter Lawford picked up the money for the pilot.
Mm-hmm.
We did a pilot with Barbara Britton.
Right.
And a couple other people. And it didn't sell. I was okay, but I was not good enough. So I felt badly because I had written, knowing I was going to be in it, I had written 13 episodes.
Sure.
All ready to go. And I said, this is crazy. So my agent said, they couldn't believe that these episodes are not going to be ever seen.
Yeah.
So we got the idea to find another actor. And somebody said, Dick Van Dyke. I didn't know who he was. I went to New York and saw him in Bye Bye Birdie with Cheetah Rivera.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, there may be the most talented human being that ever lived.
Yeah.
And we hired him, and the rest, of course, is wonderful history.
Well,
finding, if we found him in 1 second,
well,
Mary Tyler Moore, it took months. I saw 23 girls before she walked into the room on those legs with that black hair, those eyes. And I remembered telling Sheldon Leonard, who was our executive producer, I said, I don't know what I'm looking for. He said, you'll know when you find it, when you see it. Well, she walked in the room one day, and she read the first line of the page, and I made my hand into the claw that in a penny arcade picks up candy, and I walked across with my hand, the claw grabbed the top of her head, walked her across the floor, and I deposited in Sheldon's my Sheldon, I found her. And that was Mary.
Well, and you were bouncing around names like Full House, Double Trouble, All in a Day's Work, and then came the Dick Van Dyke Show, and Rosemary said to you, she said, what's a Dick Van Dyke?
Oh, yeah, well, what's a Dick Rose, you know, the funny thing, we got off on the wrong foot. I wrote a show about the home life of a writer, and she thought the show was about television writers. And I said, oh, my. She's got it all wrong. And when they hired her, she, you know, she, later on, she did a, there's a documentary done on Rosemary from the time she's
seen
4 years old.
Yeah.
And I saw that documentary, and I said, and I, to this day, there's never been a greater documentary about a more talented human being than Rosemary. At 4 years old, I remember her singing Baby Rosemary, and she was monitored, but not monitored. She was hired by Bugsy Siegel.
Yeah, the mob, Al Capone.
Two mob guys. They went to Vegas
and
started Vegas with the first star, Rosemary, at 4 years of age.
Yeah.
Her history is unbelievable. We became dear friends after that, but at the very beginning, when we got off on the wrong foot, she thought it was about, you know.
TV writers. Yeah, I saw that documentary. I think most people who knew her from her career knew her from Dick Van Dyke and Hollywood Squares. I don't think anybody knew she had a 30-40 year career even before that. It was very well done.
And the sad thing was that her father was a manager, and he took her around. She got $80-$90 a week. She lived with her mother in a one-room apartment with no stove, heating plate, and she lived in poverty while her father lived in it's the saddest life ever.
It is.
But she had a great life. She had a wonderful husband, a daughter, and so she. It was wonderful to find out the whole history of her life.
Yeah. I mean, it was a great cast all the way around. And I got to tell you, I was born in 67, so I discovered the show in reruns in the 70s on WGN TV here in Chicago. And still to this day, and I say this honestly, and I tell people this all the time, I think it's one of the best sitcoms of all time. It's timeless. And some shows, as you know, too, watching shows from the 50s, 60s, they don't stand up that well with the test of time because of the topics and subject matter.
As a matter of fact, I assiduously, when I did the show, I remember saying it to myself and then telling every writer who ever came, I said, there is no timeline in this show. I said, I don't want to hear any slang of the day. I don't want to hear any politics of the day. This is about a family. The families are the same. They don't change that much from era to era. And I said, if we write about who we are, write about yourself and your wife and your children.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I said, you'll have a Dick Van Dyke Show. And by the way, we were going to do it in color, and they said it would cost $16,000 or so. I said, oh, we'd never make money. Today, they're colorizing them.
Yeah, they are. I know they are. And they're great, by the way. And I love the ones that you've handpicked so far. I want to see the Christmas one. Colorized.
Yeah,
that's another one on the list. You know, you wrote 40 of the first 60 shows of the Dick Van Dyke Show. I mean, you were the passion for this show was so evident. Your character of Alan Brady, people thought it was based on Sid Caesar, but it was not.
No, Sid Caesar was the best boss you can possibly have. We ate together every week. We went to lunch and went to dinners on Saturday. We were all very dear friends. But I said, for a boss, you need a prototype of somebody who makes it tough to work for. Mm-hmm. And I thought of Phil Silvers, who did a thing on Broadway, and I had his image in my mind of a rough guy who always berated the writers, and I said, well, who do you play him? And it was a small part. Actually, I only had a one or two line part. So I said, I'll do his voice with my head on a phone or something, and they won't know it's me. Of course, they will say, he's not a, that's not a big star. That's a second banana.
Right.
So, but after we got some of the shows got more complicated, I had to turn myself around, and we called me Alan Brady. His original show name was Alan Sturdy, and Sheldon Leonard said, sounds like Alan's Dirty.
I said, oh. Is that what it was? Is that what changed it? That's funny.
We'll call him Alan Brady.
Oh, man. Well, the biggest highlight was Coast to Coast Big Mouth. I mean, that was where Laura outed you, for the wigs and stuff. I mean, it was just legendary. Fast forwarding a bit, Steve Martin got his start on the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour. Johnny Carson had him on frequently, but you brought him to the big screen in The Jerk, and then later Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid and The Man with Two...
We did four pictures together because he was one of the guys. You didn't have to finish a sentence in talking and directing him. He knew exactly where you were going, and he would go there and then some. He is today, considered by many one of the great, comedians of all time.
Yeah. And one of the
and
things.
By the way, he said that the greatest comedian of all time is Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah, see, I find that wild because Dick Van Dyke had a variety show in the 70s that was, it was critically acclaimed, but ratings deprived. Steve Martin wrote for Dick Van Dyke in that show. How would you describe the talent of these two and the similarities between them?
Oh, there's no describing these two guys. They are. Comedians are. They're born it or whatever comes into the influences that come into their lives, usually family members that don't get along or something. It's usually there's a fly in the ointment in that family. But they all did well. And the thing that I love more than anything is that Steve Martin never thought he'd get married or have children. And he has a child, and he dotes over that.
Yeah, it's
lovely.
Awesome.
Daughter.
Beautiful. The great Carl Reiner. Carl, be well, stay healthy, and again, happy birthday to you. I'm thrilled you always say yes when I reach out to have a conversation. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you so much. We'll do this again if I can live.
You're going to do it. I'm already planning our interview for your 100th. We're all good. Oh. I got it scheduled.
Hey.
All right. Take care, Carl.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Take care. All right. Music icon Herb Alpert coming up next on 720 WGN.